Tiene tre gambe di fuori.
Ecco, vai.
Here we go.
The Sefer Shalom brings down a number of questions that we need to understand. Firstly, we're going to start here with Yaakov and Esau. There's a whole long story. Right? Where Esau is coming with his 400 men, Yaakov is preparing, he's sending him messengers, he's sending him presents. Preparing his camp for war, davening, and we have a lengthy, many psukim that go back and forth and talk about this whole interaction between Yaakov and Esau. What's the purpose of all this? Why do we need to know this battle of Yaakov and Esau that it goes on for 30, 40 psukim? We keep on going on and on, talking about it. Everything in the Torah is nifty, everything has an eternal message. And if the Torah is telling me about this confrontation with Esau that Yaakov is having, there must be something that we can learn today. And the Sefer Shalom is convinced. He says that it has to be that there's some hint there to the battle, the ongoing battle that we all have with the Yetzer Hara. That's what Esau represents, the kokos that fight us. So we need to understand. We're supposed to learn from this parasha how to approach our Yetzer Hara, how to beat him, how to fight him, how to defend ourselves. So, what are those clues? What are those keys? What is it that we need to take away that's going to give us the ability, the tools to fight our Yetzer Hara? That's number one. Let's try to understand. Number two, he points out in Yaakov Avinu, we find something different. All the others, specifically Avraham, we know, had 10 tests. Yitzchak, we don't hear so much about tests, but we know about that. Okay, that's Yitzchak. And Yaakov, for some reason, if you look at his life, never ending, getting pounded from left hand to the right hand, constant struggles, constant challenges, is the life of Yaakov Avinu. He gets hit from all sides. All sides. He goes to the house of Laban, and he's getting chased by Esau, then he has the mice of Dinah, then Yosef, and his entire life has never rest. What is it? What is it about Yaakov that he has so much strife? And he's called the Bechir Shem Avos. He's called the choicest of the Avos. He is the one, according to the Medrash, right, that Yaakov Avinu is actually one of the faces of the Kisei Hakavod, the four panim that are on that Kisei Hakavod. One of those four faces is the face of a human being, which is Yaakov. So obviously he did well. So the question is, why all the challenges? Why so much? Why never ending? It just doesn't let up. Yaakov Avinu. Okay, so Michael says to keep you on your toes, and we're going to come back to that. So two questions so far. Okay, Kevin, to catch you up. Number one is to understand this lengthy discussion with Yaakov and Esau. What's going on here to learn that the Sefer Shalom says we have a clue here. How to battle a Yetzer Hara all the time. That's the message for us here. We have to tap in what that is. Number two is, why does Yaakov get challenged so much? More so than anybody else, and it seems like because of that he's called the Bechir Shem Avos. And then number three, and there'll be one more after this one. So the third question is, if you look in the Pesukim, when we're dying in the Pesukim, Yaakov sends messages to Esau, right? And he tells them, you know, go to my brother, and they come back, and they say, Bono l'chichal Esav, gamholik l'kros chavav mi yishishim. When they tell him, we went to your brother Esav, and he's still coming at you. And Yaakov is afraid, and then he says, Yidavet atzileini no miyadachim et Esav, save me from my brother from Esav. Now, if you look at the words, when Yaakov sent the messengers out, he first said to Malachim, Esav, go to Esav Achim. Esav, my brother. When they came back and they responded, they came back and they said, Achicha,
Banu Elashicha Aleisa, we came to your brother to Esau. They reversed the order. And then when Yaakov responds to them, he takes on with Esau, Atileinam Yad Achi Yad Esau. And again, the Ach is mentioned first. There's very significance to this. The Torah doesn't just flip words and flip things for just for fancy. There must be a reason why this is done, right? Yaakov initially sent them out and said, go to Esau, my brother. And they come back and say, no, your brother Esau. And Yaakov responds, yes, my brother Esau. So what is it about my brother Esau? Yes, we know it's his brother too. Why does the Torah have to stress that? And why is it? Why is the semantics here, the order?
Yaakov said first,
go to Esau, my brother. They came back and said, we went to your brother, Esau. And then Yaakov starts davening, save me from my brother, Esau. So all of a sudden, things got reversed a little. And we're worried about the brother. Now, we know the brother is Esau, but it seems like there's two different meanings going on here.
So
there's Yaakov, something... Yes.
So what's interesting is that when Laban tried to trick him, he also said, Rachel, your younger daughter...
Right,
because
he didn't want any confusion.
He still got tricked anyway. But as I was telling Rooster Ephraim last Shabbos, I said Yaakov was very particular with
every word he said. Correct. So then there must be significance why he switched it all of a sudden, and there must be significance to Ach and Esav what these two words mean. So we're going to understand this.
Maybe it's because even if he. She's kind of like a brother. He's still Esav, a Russia.
Okay, there's one shot that talks about that, and we're gonna embellish upon what Michael just said as well. Okay, along those lines. Michael's on the right track tonight.
Wow.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so let's go on. So we've got three kashas here. So we got to understand this order, and then one last kasha, and then we're going to start to get some answers. So in the first Rashi, not the first Rashi, I'm sorry, a little bit. Pasuk Hey, the third Rashi in the Parsha. So, Yaakov tells the messengers to send to Esau the following, that in Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan, but Echar up that I remained there until now. So what was the message he was sending to Esau in Lavan Garti? So Rashi says, first shot he's saying, I didn't become anything special. Don't be jealous of me, Esav. I'm a ger. Esav could die. Let's not see how brachos of Esav. It's not worth it to hate me for the brachos because nothing really happened. I'm still, I'm a stranger in someone's house. I'm nobody. That's shot number one. But then comes shot number two, the bracher. And I guess the first shot is sort of like a humbling shot. Like, I'm a nobody. I'm a zero. Like, Esav, don't bother with me. But the second shot, he comes at Esav with a little bit more force. And he says, Garti, the Gematria Tayyad. Garthi is the Gematria Tayyad. We love Gematrias, right? Tayyad. So I'm in love and Harasha Garthi. I was with love and Harasha, the Tayyad Mitzvah Shemarati, and I kept the Tayyad Mitzvah. Well, the modesty of the Ram, and I did not learn from his evil ways. So the second Chana Rashi seems to say the exact opposite point. Meaning, in the beginning, the first Chana is saying he's humble, I'm a nobody, Esau, don't worry about it. Second shot, he's coming at it saying, by the way, I was at Laban, I kept the mitzvahs, I'm not scared of you. So how do we understand that? There's two totally opposite shots. How can they work in sync? Right? He's saying the words in Laban Garthi, and there's two shots that are going totally opposite directions. Either he's humbling himself, or he's coming on with a strength and like a force. He's like, I'm in your face. I'm not scared of you because I can keep mitzvahs anyway. So what is it? Which is the right approach? And perhaps maybe both approaches are correct, and we have to figure out when to use each one. So let's begin to understand what we learned from Yaakov and Esau. That's where this all starts. What do we learn from Yaakov and Esau? The challenges of every day. And why specifically Yaakov is so challenged all the time and so full of never-ending tests in his life. So the first thing we have to understand, and it's a famous line, which I didn't coin this phrase, but it's been coined before. No pain, no gain. That's life. Life is going to have challenges. Life is going to have things that are going to hit us in the face. And Yaakov, the Bechir Shev Avos, who we're named after Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, we need to resemble those midos. As Yaakov puts forth the 12 Shvatim in the beginning of Klal Yisrael, that there's going to be battles. The Yetzer comes at you 24/7. He doesn't stop. He doesn't rest. Esav is always after him. And we have to be on our guard. And we have to be able to arm ourselves with the tools to fight the Yetzer and know how to battle him and how to win it. That's what the Torah is telling us this whole Pirates report. It's to give us a clue. How do we win this ongoing battle? Because it is an ongoing battle. It doesn't stop. One day you're doing great. The next day comes at you with something else. Next day something else. Next day something else. He's always coming at you. And that's why Yaakov's life was almost like Mike Sabo sitting in the bottom is telling us, yeah, this stuff is always going to happen. And you have to be ready for it. Don't get overwhelmed. There's a plan. There's a way to deal with it. But expect it. Know that it's coming. There's a beautiful story when we talk about fighting an HR from Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim, when he was very old, later on in his life, he was trying to get up in the morning for Shacharis. And the little voice inside of him is telling him, you're an old man, it's cold outside, just stay in bed. As he's diving a little later, he can still make Frank Krishna. Go to later, you know, maybe go to later, man. You know, don't get up now, relax, take it easy. And what the Chafetz Chaim saying? He's thinking, you know, the HR has got a good point. And he says, you know, he says, I'm an old man. He says, wait a minute. The HR has been with me. He's the same age as me. He's just as old. And he's fighting pretty hard because he's trying to convince me not to go to Shabbat. So we're the same age. That's not an excuse. If he's up on his game, then I got to be up on my game. And he got out of bed. Right? It's beautiful. Right? He's like, you know, he's trying to convince you, old man. You're old too. What do you mean? And you're fighting, and you're still pushing, and you're trying to convince me not to do things. So I'm going to go up against you anyway. But that little story, that little joke that the Chafetz Chaim shared says a lot, because it doesn't stop. Even the Chafetz Chaim man of his level recognized that the HR is always trying to convince you and persuade you to do something that you shouldn't be doing, or not to do something that you should be doing. So we have to be ready for that. And that's what the Torah is telling us. The Yaakov and Esav battle is constant. And Yaakov is going to get challenged all the time. And that's us. So how do we meet the challenge?
So what you're saying is that Yaakov's whole life is challenged. And
Correct. We are the children of Bnei Yisrael. His name Yisrael, which he gets in the sixth parasha. Why does he get the name Yisrael? Because he fights the Malach and he beats it, right? And then he gets Bnei Yisrael. Then he gets called Yisrael. And we are Bnei Yisrael. We inherit the victory of that struggle and battle that eventually he fights the Yetzer Hara, he fights the Sire of Esav, and he beats him. That's the message of Klai Yisrael. Now we're called Yisrael to remember that struggle, remember that victory that Yaakov was able to overcome.
And we have that struggle.
And he had struggles. And it doesn't mean the struggle stopped after he fought the HR too. There's another time that he comes at you. So that's number one. The first thing is we have to be realists and know that it's not like on Tuesday I'm going to have a battle with the HR. But today I don't have to worry until Tuesday. No, it doesn't work like that. Today, Thursday, he's coming at you today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. And just in different ways and different shapes and forms. And we have to be ready for it. And not get overwhelmed and stop and say, okay, so what do we do? What do we learn from Yaakov? How he prepared for this battle, how he fought this battle, and how we can inherit those same leaders and fight our own battles as well. So let's see. So the first thing, we're at least understanding why the Torah is describing us this whole struggle and why Yaakov struggles, but now let's understand the nuances here. In love on Garfi, right? So we say there's two things going on over here. There's, on the one hand, he's telling, well, before we get to Love and Garcia, I'm going to go into how did Yaakov prepare for fighting with Esau. He did three things. He split up his camp for war, he sent presents, and he davened. Okay? He put forth his davening. So what do you try to do first when the Esau is coming at you? You try to figure out a way to peace. You know, and, leave me alone. Right? Try to push him off a little. If that doesn't work, you prepare for battle. And while you're doing that, you daven in between. And you daven all the time. Because you just have to try it for. So you can have all the tactical things in the world. I'm going to talk about some strategies in a moment. But you always have to daven in that process. And this is what perhaps Yaakov is referring to when he's talking about Lavan as well. Because he takes two approaches. Before, actually, let me just say the Nesiv Yisholm first. The Nesiv Yisholm says the following. The Nesiv Yisholm says, if we look at Lavan and Esau, the two main challenges that Yaakov has had in the last parashas, what do they really represent? You know what Lavan's world is? Lavan's world is a world of Sphira. He serves the Avodah Zarah. There's no gods. There's no nobody. He does whatever he wants. And has his own gods. And his own way of life. The Nais Hashkacha Hashem. So, what's the way to battle him? And it says, Lavan Pikish Lakar Sakol. Lavan wants to destroy everything. Everything? What's everything? Everything is the foundation of Emunah. The foundation of our relationship with Hashem. So Yaakov works on his Emunah constantly when he's in Lavan's house. He's constantly davening. He's constantly working on himself. He's honest. He's truthful. He's faithful. But the way you deal with a Lavan, Tayyik Mitzvah Shemayim. I kept the mitzvahs. I keep strong. I keep on going. They strengthen me. In the world of Fira, I've got to focus on the world of Emunah. And I've said this many times about the world of Emunah. People think Emunah is such a lofty thing. How do I really believe in Hashem? How do I really believe in Hashem? One of the first things that asks of us. Gemara says when a person is ready to meet his maker, right? In the Olam HaEmes, Nasasa v'nasata b'Emunah. So everyone translates that to mean, did you do your business faithfully in our day-to-day life, whatever jobs we have, are we acting with faith? And I heard a pshat actually, and years ago, one of my rabbis, and it's a gorgeous pshat, says, no, you know what this means? It's not about how you do business faithfully. Did you toil and go back and forth in emunah? Did you struggle with your emunah? Did you work on your emunah? Did you work on your faith? It doesn't just happen. One day you're a maimon. You have to work on it. That's part of the struggle of Yaakov. You know that Yaakov struggled with that, being tricked so many times by Lavan in his house. He was working on his emunah constantly. And he makes the same indictment as Shemarti. I was strong in my mitzvahs, and I was working in my emunah the entire time. And a simple thing for us, in battling Lavan, I've said many times, write things down. Hashkacha process happens every single day of our lives. When you see the hand of Hashem in your life, when you see the hand of Hashem in your life, or in someone else's life, or in Yisrael's life, or in the world, write it down. If you can't do it every day, do it every week. Every day is a little too cumbersome, maybe, so every week, every few weeks, sit back and reflect. Write it down. Mark it. And realize, 1 second, Hashem is here, Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere, yes. Like we learned in kindergarten. He's everywhere. Because we have to trace it. We're thinking, how are we getting strong in Emunah? Work on it. Yeah, work on it. Recognize it. See it. Look for it. Hashkacha process happens all the time. We just have to be wise enough to take a glimpse. A glimpse. I'll share a short story. So, a love story tonight. Hashkacha Prat is the story of a young lady who was in Eretz Yisrael on a birthright trip many years ago, about 20 years ago. And was getting very inspired, first time in Israel, and was last day of her trip, in some bookstore buying something to take back home to her family. And at that time she actually was dating very seriously and was actually just about to be engaged to a non-Jew. And she was feeling tugged. Israel talked to her, but she did not know what to do with it. So she's buying, making a purchase, talking to people. I'm going back to Chicago. And she's just talking to people in the store. So Chicago? So it says, I'm from Chicago. And they start a conversation. You're from Chicago? Chicago, yeah. He's not saying, yeah, oh, you. And I'd love to learn more Jewish things or whatever, but I don't know what to do when I get back to Chicago. So, sure. This guy says, I know the perfect place here. He gives her a number. 20 years ago, of course, you couldn't text anybody at that time. He gives her a number to call. Just call this organization in Chicago, the Cube organization, the outreach organization. So you'll be able to go to classes and tell you you'll be able to keep on learning, just like you're doing in Israel. And sure enough, the young lady comes back. Now, let's mind you, it was the last day in Israel. For the last few hours before getting on a plane, somehow she met this person from Chicago. She was talking in the store who gives her the number. She calls the number and she starts going to classes and she starts connecting. She breaks up with her non-Jewish boyfriend. She marries someone later on in life and now has a beautiful family raising them with Torah mitzvahs in Long Island somewhere today. What? Called the Chicago Torah now. Yes. An organization that I happened to be a part of and an organization that at that time, Baruch Hashem, I was on the receiving end of that first phone call from this young lady. And watching this happen, no coincidence, Hashem made it that they saw each other that last moment. And this Hashemah was yearning, and this Hashemah found it. So you could just say, oh, it just happened to be a nice coincidence. No coincidence. Coincidences are miracles where Hashem chooses to be anonymous. That's the bottom line. That's a coincidence is a miracle where Hashem chooses to be anonymous. Okay. So that's Eitzah number one. Tying to the Shema TP, strong in your mitzvahs, but work on your emunah. As the Gemara is telling us, it starts with the emunah. Work on your emunah. That's your first battle against the Eitzah and Tzlovan. And now we approach Eitzah. So what's happening with Eitzah? So Esav comes at you two ways. Remember we said the question was that when Yaakov sent the messengers, he said, go to Esav, my brother. And when they came back, they said, my brother, Esav. They switched it around. So actually these two words mean two different things. Two different things. Many Mepharshim talk about this. There's the Esav, that's the wild man Esav, who's clearly the Yetzer Hara coming at you. We'll call it with taivas and with desires and with all kinds of things that are negative. That's Esav. Then there's the Achi, my brother. He comes at you like a tzaddik. He comes at you like, oh, of course do mitzvahs, but let's paint your mitzvahs a little bit. You know, let's get a little gaiva in there for your mitzvahs that you know so much. Let's start to pump yourself up a little bit. It's really all about you. It's not about anybody else. Let's take those mitzvahs and destroy them. So there's two ways that he comes at you. There's the strong approach of like trying to get you to do bad things and trying to snare you into doing things that are immoral and ethical and all that. And then there's Nathan says, you know what, keep on doing mitzvahs, but let's try to, you know, have a little different outlook on your mitzvahs when you do that. And this is what we have to prepare for the battle. When Yaakov first sent the messengers, he said, go to Esav, my brother. He's thinking, okay, Esav, the wild man, is going to come, you know, he's going to come at me looking like an Esav. I can handle that. I can prepare for battle against that. The way you battle against that, you strengthen yourself and you say no. You raise yourself up and say, I'm not, you don't give in to those impulses and those desires. But guess what? When they came back, they said something else. He's not coming at you like Esav. He's coming like a brother. He's trying a different tactic with you, Yaakov. He's not coming at you strong. He's way softly, and he wants to try to embrace you, and he wants to try to say, come on, be just like me, and we'll work together side by side. And he's like, yeah, you can learn a little bit, but not too much. You know, well, you can do business a little bit, but let's all be one happy family somehow. Let's have a couple more liberal views. Let's change things a little bit. That, all of a sudden, Yaakov changes his tune, too. And when he damaged the show, he says, one second, I see Lady Namiyad Achim and Esav. Please save me from my brother first. He's coming at me like this. I have to daven to save me from that approach too now. Not just the Esav that's so clear that's coming at me to do Dvar Masurim. It's the Esav that's trying to say, yeah, be good. Just, you know, in your good, get a little lost in your good. Because I'll tell us many times, learning is a tremendous thing. We all have tremendous amounts of learning going on in Torah today in Klal Yisrael. It's never happened before. But at the same time, the Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, which Chazal tell us about the midos that we need to possess when we learn Torah, sometimes we may be lacking. With that Torah comes along a certain, as they call it in Yiddish, a shtolz, or a certain gaiva, a certain arrogance. We know a lot. Wow. We know so much. Wow, we're so wrong. Yeah. We're unbelievable. That's great. But be careful. Be careful. The more knowledge you have, when they say knowledge is power, it's dangerous. It is. It's power. Because the HR creeps into you and says, oh, you know so much more. Stop already. You know more than the next guy. Or you know so much. Wow, you can bother to get it. You don't have to use all the time in your life so wisely. You can waste a little time here, waste a little time. You can do a little this there. The HR tries to pump you up and say, hey, stop already. You know, yeah, you know a lot. Good to miss this. But that, those Torah and that mitzvah can end up being very much tainted. If we follow that ploy that, yeah, we're learning so much and we know so much, but don't get so lost in yourself. Don't get so lost in yourself. It's a big, big Yetzihara. In the world that we live in today, that knowledge makes people think they know more than everybody else. You never know more than anybody else. Moshe Rabbeinu, the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. Chazal tell us, Limei L'shoyin Choloima Eini Yedeo. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. When you don't know something, you say you don't know. How many times do people feel the pressure to answer questions that we don't know? But, I mean, I know this much Gemara already, so I must have an answer to this. Someone asked me this question, I must have an answer, so you just make something up on the spot, man. We're not even thinking about it. That's kind of the real anivus with Ish Moshe Anu Miod was, when you know it, you share it. And when you don't know it, you say you don't know it. And when you know it, it's not that it's all about me. You recognize Hashem gave me all the kochos in the world that I'm able to understand so much. I thank Hashem. I machnia myself and recognize Hashem. You gave me the ability to be able to serve you and to learn Torah and to keep mitzvahs. It's all the kochos I get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really the two-pronged approach. It's not a theorem in Rashi. Going back to the Rashi we said in the beginning. What did Rashi say? In love and garati tagim shemar. Right? I'm one pshat or the other pshat was I'm really a nobody. So how do the two coexist? I'm a nobody or I'm like, I did everything. It's not a theorem. It's not a theorem. You need both approaches to fight with Esau. You have to be strong in your convictions. As we said before, keep the mitzvahs, strengthen your mitzvahs, strengthen your emunah to fight the Esau, to fight that battle of Esau. But you know, when Esau comes at you the other way too, it starts to come at you even in your mitzvahs, you have to be humble. You have to also at the same time balance your gaiva and your strength with anivus, with humility, with humbleness. And be able to say, I recognize that all my kochos are from Hashem. Esau, you're not gonna win me on this. You're not gonna get me to buy into my gaiva. But Yigbal Lima B'Dach Hashem was supposed to be a little stronger than Dach Hashem, but that's only to fight when the Yetzer comes at us with the Surim and difficult things that we shouldn't do. But for our day-to-day life, what we're supposed to live like, we know it's humility, it's humble, it's recognizing that we get everything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and recognizing that don't let Esau taint your mitzvahs and let the guy of us speak in. The beautiful story from Moshe Feinstein to tell. Mentions at a chasidim. My father, Lashon, saw him at a chasidim. And he was in the back. He was in the Moshe. He's in the back standing by a chuppah. Of course, the Gadol Dor standing in the back, and maybe it was the early days. People didn't, not everyone understood who Moshe was at that time. It's in the 50s or 60s. And my father ran over to me and gave him a cheer to sit down. Moshe said, thank you. Then he walks away. And he looks around and he sees the Moshe not sitting. And the Moshe is standing, holding on to the chair. He watches, waits a minute or two. An old man walks by Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe taps him on the shoulder. He says, do you want to sit down? And he gives him the seat. The Gadol Hadar, the biggest Gaon that we had in the last generation, the humility, didn't bring attention to himself. When it came to Pesach, he said exactly what was on his mind. He knew Kol Torah Kula. He said it. When it came to his everyday life, he didn't let that gaiva of Torah say, I should run straight to the front. I should sit down in the front or wait for, or call a few people over to walk me in, make me look real chashuv. No! Sat in the back! Didn't draw attention to himself. And that's what we have to do. The Torah that we have, Baruch Hashem, today's generation is so much and so strong. It's great. But recognize that it's a matana from a Kodesh Baruch Hu Torah that we have, and it gives us a chance to connect in. Don't get lost in your Torah. Keep on learning, and if you keep on learning properly, keep on humbling yourself and recognizing the gift of Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us. The Chazanish once said, when he first saw a lamppost, he made a comment of light that he said, the closer you get to it, right, the further you are away, there's this big shadow. The closer you get to it, it's very tiny. And he said it's the same thing with Torah. When you don't know a lot, it's like, you feel like you're so, you feel so big. You start learning, you feel big. The more you learn, the smaller you realize you really are. The smaller you realize, how much I really know. How much is there to do? It's just the opposite. The more you learn, the more you humble yourself if you're learning correctly. If you're learning not just to say, I know more. If you're learning to do more. That's the key. You're not learning to know more. You're learning to do more. We don't just learn Torah, we live Torah. That's what Yaakov Aminu is teaching us. You're learning to live it. You're learning to live life this way. And that's what these pashas are telling us. Yaakov's battle with Esav is extremely important because it shows us how we're supposed to approach it. We're supposed to approach with a certain strength and at the same time humility. And not to be tricked into falling into our own trap. Maybe we be zocha, all of us, that we should be able to see the strength in our actions, strengthening our mitzvot and tzivim, our midas tovos, More importantly, in our everyday life, being able to recognize the gift and the matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Chazal tells us, when we fight our Yetzer every day, without Hashem, you can't do it. You just can't do it. Impossible. You can't do it. You can't do it. And recognize that we need to have the Shema with the Dhamma for this too. So three steps. Emunah you got to always work on. Strengthen your Emunah. Fighting the battles of fear. When it comes to Esav, the two sides of Esav, the Ach and the Esav that comes at you with the terrible things to do, you got to strengthen yourself in your mitzvahs and be strong in love and guidance, tarikus and shemarati. But with that strength, you have to temper it with your achsam, with humility. And understand when Esav comes at you the other way, it says, come, keep on learning. Remember, oh, look how big you are, look how great you are. No. You have to know who you are, but put yourself in your place. Recognize where you are. Recognize who you are. Makaris B'Kaimai is one of the 48 Tvarim, Shatari Nikdis Bab. Someone who recognizes his place. That's the key in life. We have to recognize our place. We're going to be challenged. The Yetzer is going to come at us all the time, but we have to be steady and recognize, okay, don't get overwhelmed. So today you're coming at me one way. I'm going to be steady. I'm going to keep my mitzvahs going. I'm going to keep on working on my mitzvahs. I'm going to keep on being machzeir myself. And as long as we keep working and recognizing that derech eretz, that hachna, which is so essential in Kabbalah Satira, if we're able to do that and humble ourselves like a gedolim, recognize what Torah really gives us, it gives us the ability to recognize how big we can be, but recognize where we are in this place. It doesn't mean it's not a sira. Not a sira. You can be very strong. You can know a ton of Torah. But you can be humble and recognize it's a gift because this is what Hashem, the Kol Chos Hashem gave. So let's strengthen ourselves and recognize we have tremendous capabilities, but we also have tremendous responsibilities. To live, not just to learn, but to live Torah the way it's supposed to be, with the ultimate humility. I'll say one more story, and I'll end with this. Shachatal was known when people came to see him that he would stand up for them. I've said this maybe before as well. Anybody who came to him for an appointment, he stood up for it, walked over to you and greeted you. I witnessed this myself personally when I saw him as an 18-year-old bacher. My wife, who was in seminary as an 18-year-old as well, she walked in with a group of girls. He stood up for them and walked over to them and greeted them. And he was asked the question, why Rashid, he's already 80s, 90s, why are you standing up for everybody? And he said the most beautiful line. He said, if they're older than me, they did more mitzvahs than me. If they're younger than me, they did less of errors than me. And he stood up for every person that walked in. Here's the Gadol Hadar, who's machniah himself to every person. He knew more Torah than anybody who walked in that room. But he had a way of not letting it get to his head. I'm not better than somebody else. I can stand up to somebody else. I can show respect to somebody else. I'm not better than you. And I don't need a cover. Correct. That's right. Not a lack of cover. If anything, he's teaching people how to be mechaber. So let's take those lessons to life. The more we learn, the more of an obligation we have to reach out to others. And the more of an obligation we have to tell ourselves to others. Those chusim, Mitzvah Shem, will walk into this parasha being armed with the midas of Yaakov. The midas of Yaakov, struggles of Yaakov, coming with recognizing who we are. It's a bizarcha to Mitzvah Shem, getting ready to lead into Hanukkah in a few weeks with that strength of Torah and that Achmah.